Blog Talk Radio.
It's time to awaken consciousness. It's time for a paradigm shift. Time for love and empowerment. It's time to create your ideal life, and it's time to deploy the Awaken Life Excel process. If you're a freedom-loving soul, today we're going to be discussing, in the Department of Entrepreneurship, we're going to be discussing leadership. We'll probably throw a little bit of wellness in there, holistic health. Time to start our show. Hey, this is Carol Parisi and Nancy G. I know you're there. How are you, girl?
Good, good. How are you?
I am okay. I'm actually going to change phones here real quick. So I'm going to ask you a question. You tell me, anything exciting going on in Nancy world?
No, just speaking of leadership, testing the integrity of people in those roles.
Okay, hang on. Explain that, and I'll be with you in a second.
Yep. Just when people you are dealing with that are in a leadership role and they are making promises to you about working with them, and you test it by giving them opportunities and you see how they react to those opportunities. It's interesting to see if they are more money-oriented or more people-oriented. So money-oriented means I just want the dollars now and I don't care what happens tomorrow. And people-oriented to me is that you want the best for your people as much as you want, you know, the dollars for yourself.
Okay. Now I'm going to play a counterpoint to what you said. And
okay.
Our business is in business not to make money?
They are in business to make money.
I know. I've got a place that I'm going here. So,
okay.
Businesses are in business to make money, but also what are businesses in business to do? And
yeah, good businesses are also out there to help other entrepreneurs make money as well, and to share in the wealth.
Well, I think businesses are to serve people, and businesses
mm-hmm.
are. Serve customers, have their employees possibly, you know, get jobs. I just think that we're talking about leadership, and just because someone owns a business does not mean that they are leaders. And there are some very specific traits of leaders. And one of them is conviction. And when someone is convinced, and I'll read from an article that actually Mark sent this to me, and we actually discussed it yesterday on the as we were driving. It says, and I'm going to read the article really quick, and it's Dr. Travis Bradbury. He's the co-author of Emotional Intelligence 2.0, and it says, why the best leaders have conviction. Conviction in a leader is an incredibly valuable yet increasingly rare trait. Excuse me. It is in short supply because our brains are wired to overreact to uncertainty with fear. As uncertainty increases, the brain shifts control over to the limbic system, the place where emotions are, such as anxiety and panic. And that's what the limbic system of the brain is where those are generated. Brain quirk worked well eons ago when cavemen entered unfamiliar area and didn't know who or what may be lurking behind the bushes. Overwhelming caution and fear ensured survival. But that's not the case today. This mechanism, which hasn't evolved, is a hindrance in the world of business. where uncertainty rules and important decisions must be made every day with minimal information. Craving certainty. We crave certainty. Our brains are so geared up for certainty that our subconscious can monitor and store over 2 million data points, which the brain uses to predict the future. And that isn't just a neat little side trick. It's the primary purpose of the neocortex, which is 76% of the brain's total mass. Our brains reward us for certainty. If our nomadic ancestors were anxious about where their next meal was coming from, finding it would result in increased dopamine levels in their brains in addition to the full stomach. You get the same rush from listening to music that has a predictable repeating pattern or from completing a puzzle. Predictable activities satisfy our craving for certainty. Interesting, huh? I mean, there's like science behind this.
Yeah, okay, that's so very interesting.
It is. And it says here, great leadership requires conviction. In business, things change so quickly that there's a great deal of uncertainty about what's going to happen next month, let alone next year. And uncertainty takes up a lot of people's mental energy and makes them less effective at their job. The brain perceives uncertainty as a threat, which sparks the release of cortisol, a stress hormone that disrupts memory, depresses the immune system, and increases the risk of high blood pressure and depression. These are things that no leader wants her team to endure. Leaders with conviction create an environment of certainty for everyone. When a leader is absolutely convinced that he has chosen the best course of action, everyone who follows him unconsciously absorbs this belief and the accompanying emotional state. Mirror neurons are responsible for this involuntary response. They mirror the emotional state of other people, especially those we look to for guidance. This ensures that leaders with conviction put us at ease. Leaders with conviction show us that the future is certain and that we're all headed in the right direction. Their certainty is neurologically shared by everyone. When leaders have conviction, people's brains can relax, so to speak, letting them concentrate on the task that needs to be done. When people feel more secure in the future, they're happier and produce higher quality work. A leader who can demonstrate conviction will be more successful, and so will everyone she works with. Amplifying your sense of conviction is easier than you think. The following traits of leaders with great conviction will show you the way. So there's one, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine other things, nine points here. But let's discuss the whole overall conviction piece. What do you think of that?
I think it's fascinating, especially since there's actual scientific proof of how our brains react to that. And I totally agree that in almost any kind of business, there is no certainty from day to day. There's no certainty how many people are going to come and purchase your product. There's no certainty how much money you're going to make. You can only hope and project and plan as well as you possibly can.
Right. So, now you're dealing with you have a leader in one of your ventures. You have anything you want to say about this person in pertaining to this?
I think that he tries to do a lot of predicting of certainty, and then when he realizes that's not going to happen, I think he gets extremely frustrated. And I think he just is constantly thinking about the business part of it, and he forgets about the business is run for him by people, and he forgets how to keep those people calm in the face of uncertainty as well, you know, because we never know, you know, what our take home is either. So,
right.
You know, if he was an excellent leader, you know, he would instill a sense of, I know, calm and reason rather than, you know, near hysteria.
Well, let me read. I'll read the first point here. And I'm sucking on a mint. Stupid me. It says, they're strong, not harsh. Strength is an important quality in a leader with conviction. People will wait to see if a leader is strong before they decide to follow his or her lead. People need courage in their leader. They need someone who can make difficult decisions and watch over the good of the group. They need a leader who will stay the course when things get tough. People are far more likely to show strength in themselves when the leader does the same. A lot of leaders make the mistake of domineering and controlling, otherwise harsh behavior for strength. They think that taking control and pushing people around will somehow inspire a loyal following. Strength isn't something you could force on people. It's something you earn by demonstrating it time and again in the face of adversity. Only then will people trust that they should follow you.
So, I love that. Love it. Love it. That is absolutely, I could not even think about it better than that was just said.
It sounds like similar to who I dealt with in my recent past that tried to be a leader. It was a more of a pushy, harsh, not strong.
Right, okay. And mine tries to be more of a bully. It comes off like being, like you feel bullied a lot of the time.
Right,
and
right.
And that there's some severe consequence of not performing exactly in the manner in which they think you should or living up to their expectations, which might or might not have some other factors involved in it.
Well, that's the controlling piece. And I was listening to something about Napoleon Hill, and he was also talking about people in leadership really have to have wonderful people skills. Where they, besides salesmanship, they need to understand people and understand how to motivate people and need to have a filter. I was at a guy's house. He wanted to run for mayor of Chicago, and some guy came to his house. Well, I was in one room. This guy screamed this other guy from one end to the other. I look at my partner, Jackie. I'm like, we're not working for this guy. He's an idiot. And I went into his office, and I called him out on it. Now, guy's really successful, has businesses, makes money. I called him right out on it. I'm like, dude, obviously you have a capacity for success. I said, you should know better at this level in your life and how to treat people. You don't talk to people that way. Because you know as well as I know, somebody that's going to talk to somebody that way will talk to you that way. They don't care. If they think that they're your leader, they're gonna control you and try and talk to you in a nasty way too.
Exactly.
So now here's another one. It says they know when to trust their gut. Our ancestors relied on their intuition, their gut instinct for survival. Since most of us don't face life or death decisions every day, we have to learn how to use this instinct to our benefit. Often we make the mistake of talking ourselves out of listening to our gut instinct, or we go too far in the other direction and impulsively dive into a situation, make assumptions. Leaders with conviction recognize and embrace the power of their gut instinct. They rely on some tried and true strategies to do so successfully. They recognize their own filters, identify, that's my phone ringing, sorry. They recognize their own filters. They're able to identify when they're being overly influenced by their assumptions and emotions or by another person's opinion. Their ability to filter out feelings that aren't coming from their intuition helps them focus on what is. They give their intuition some space. Gut instincts can't be forced. Our intuition works best when we're not pressuring it up to come with some solution. Albert Einstein said his best ideas while sailing. And when Steve Jobs was faced with a tough problem, he'd head out for a walk. They build a track record. Leaders with conviction take time to practice their intuition. They start by listening to their gut on small things and seeing how it goes. They'll know whether or not they can trust something when big comes around. Sounds like you have a dog there. Is that your cat?
Yes. A little right now.
I didn't hear you. You broke up. Say it again.
At okay, the moment that.
Uh oh, something's happening to your phone. Say again.
Oh, but I'm at okay.
I don't know what you're doing back there, but it's clicking and it's not letting you come through. Can you hear me loud and clear? Nancy, you're going to have to call back in again, okay?
Are we better? Are we better?
That could be a little better. Keep talking.
Okay. All right. I'll keep talking.
That's
you just said
good
I'm at
now.
A different location. Okay.
That's better. That's better. That's better. Did you hear the last thing? Did you hear the last thing I said about leaders trusting their gut?
Oh, yeah.
But some,
yeah, no, I heard you perfectly fine.
Okay, do you want me to continue?
Yep.
The next one's really good. It says they're confident, not cocky. We gravitate to confident leaders because confidence is contagious. It helps us to believe that there are great things in store. The trick as a leader is to make certain your confidence doesn't slip into arrogance or cockiness. Confidence is about passion and belief in your ability to make things happen. But when your confidence loses touch with reality, you begin to think you could do things you can't and have done things that you haven't. Suddenly, it's all about you. This arrogance makes you lose credibility. Confident leaders are still humble. They don't allow their accomplishments and position of authority to make them feel as if they're better than anyone else. As such, they don't hesitate and jump in and do the dirty work when needed. And they don't ask their followers to do anything they aren't willing to do themselves. You know what? That is something that I have always maintained through all my businesses, anytime I've led anyone. That I'm not asking you to do anything I haven't done or I'm not willing to do myself. Because you don't, that is like failure. When people go ahead and ask people to do something and they're not willing to do it, that's not a leader, you know?
Correct. Correct. That's a very important point.
It's huge. I'll tell you what. I'll give you a recent example in politicking or whatever. You know, this grassroots Tea Party movement that I was involved in, it draws so many characters, okay? So there was this one person that was a quote-unquote Tea Party leader. So this person calls me and lets me know in his area that he needs people to walk precincts. And I said, are you walking precincts? Oh, no, I don't do that. I said, so-and-so. I said, you know what? If you want to be a leader of an organization, it's about leadership. And leadership is leading by example. You're supposed to walk your own talk. I said, go figure it out. Well, maybe I was cocky, but you know what? It just aggravates me. Everybody likes to be in front of the room with a microphone, but they don't want to do the work, you know?
Right, or just be the delegator and let everyone else do everything else, but they're certainly going to take all the glory that's handed down afterwards,
right?
Too. Yes.
Right, exactly. So it's kind of interesting and kind of pathetic that a lot of people, you know, just leadership. Oh gosh, excuse me, Nancy. There's like a little sniffles. All right, now here's a good one. You're going to love this one. They embrace that which they can't control. We all like to be in control. After all, people who feel like they're at the mercy of their surroundings never get anywhere in life. But this desire for control can backfire when you see everything that you can't control or don't know as personal failure. Leaders with conviction aren't afraid to acknowledge what's out of their control. Their conviction comes from an unwavering belief in their ability to control those things that they can. They don't paint a situation as better or worse than what it actually is, and then they analyze the facts for what they are. They know the only thing they could really control is the process through which they reach their decisions. That's the only rational way to handle the unknown and best way to keep your head on level ground. So it's kind of like, you know, God grant me the serenity to, you know, change the things I can, accept the things I cannot change, and the wisdom to know the difference.
All right,
Here's one you're going to like. They're role models, not preachers. Leaders with conviction and inspire trust and admiration through their actions, not just their words. Many leaders say that something is important to them, but leaders with conviction will walk their talk every day, harping about the behavior you want to see in people all day as long, all day long has a tiny fraction of the impact you achieve by demonstrating the behavior yourself. That is so true, isn't it?
Absolutely.
That's like walking the talk. That's walking the talk, man.
Yep.
They're role models, not teachers. I like this one. They're emotionally intelligent. The limbic system, where the emotions are generated in the brain, respond to uncertainty with a knee-jerk fear reaction, and fear inhibits good decision-making. Leaders with conviction are wary of this fear and spot it as soon as it begins to surface. You're going to love this. You're going to love this. Okay? This way they can contain it before it gets out of control. Once they are aware of the fear, they label all the irrational thoughts that try to intensify as it's irrational fears, not reality, and the fear subsides. Then they can focus more accurately and rationally on the information that they have to go on. Throughout the process, they remind themselves that a primitive part of their brain is trying to take over and that the logical part of the brain needs to be the one in charge. In other words, they tell their limbic system to settle down and be quiet until the hungry tiger shows up. In other words, don't feed the fears, right?
Right.
Okay, there's a couple more, and then we could like do a little conversation. We've got about 8 minutes. They say ask what if. What if, see? I don't like that though. I like what if. They say what if questions throw fuel on the fire of stress and worry, and there's no place for them in your thinking once you have good contingency plans in place. Oh, once you have good contingency plans in place. Okay, got it. Things can go in a million different directions, and the more time you spend worrying about the possibility, the less time you'll spend focusing on taking action. Leaders with conviction, knowing that asking what if will only take them to a place they don't want or need to go. Okay, I guess somebody like me that's a little ADD, you know, sometimes I overthink shit, so I'm a what if kind of person sometimes. That's something I probably can do better. You know, plan A, plan B.
Yeah, I like having multiple plans in case thereof.
Right.
But go forward and just do it kind of person most of the time.
I ran my businesses that way. I would go ahead and do my schedule, and then I would do a contingency schedule knowing that anything could happen, and this way I never missed any business that way. Very rarely. I'm not going to say never. Very rarely. But now this one I like. They're willing to take a bullet for their people. Leaders with conviction will do anything for their teams, and they have their people's backs no matter what. They don't try to shift blame, and they don't avoid shame when they fail. They're never afraid to say the buck stops here, and they earn people's trust by backing them up. Leaders with conviction make it clear that they welcome challenges, criticism, and viewpoints of others than their own. They know that an environment where people are afraid to speak up, offer insights, and ask good questions is destined for failure. So there you go. Good leadership is willing to be the buck stops here and not blame other people if things don't go right.
Yeah, I deal with a real blamer person.
I think you're dealing
It's always what the other, you know, that somebody did something wrong and that's why this didn't come out right or whatever. Now, the backing you up part is pretty good about, even in the face of customers and just customers that are being really obnoxious, but almost to the point of it being a fault of his, because he goes too far that direction and does not provide some really good basic customer service that I think, you know, could go a long way. I get a lot of people that have made comments recently that they will never do business with him again. They will, you know, they have stood by my table and told other customers, don't do business with this person because of this is my experience. I think sometimes, you know, we're going to bat for somebody's fines, but I think he takes that, like, just way too far.
Well, you and I have had the conversation about this gentleman. Let me bring this all together.
Mm-hmm.
Nixon assures people that work matters. They know that if they focus all their energy and attention in a determined direction, it will yield results. This belief does more than put people at ease. It creates a self-fulfilling prophecy of success. See, so you know what? I think you know enough and you have enough leadership in yourself that you're dealing with someone that doesn't. But I want to hear about your week. Because haven't you won two awards for super sales?
Yeah, sales contests, exactly. Yep, for high sales. For high sales. With two different partner people. So they both weren't one with the same person as my associate, let's say.
Now, explain that to me.
Well, we just work in teams, so the two times that I won were both with two different team member people. Otherwise, I would say it's the energy of the two people, you know, the two of us together that make it super strong. But I am that motivating factor. I like to set the goal. I like to have the challenge. I like to check in periodically during the day. How are we doing? And, you know, how much more do we need? And kind of be the rah-rah cheerleader-y, you know, influence on that as well.
Right. But the lowest common denominator is that you were both of them.
Right. Yeah, that, you know, the weeks that he's had this contest, you know, I have been on the winning side of it, which is really nice because I am highly motivated when there is that incentive.
Right.
And so I think he's doing well in is that there should always be some extra incentive, even the smallest reward, you know, is a nice pat on the back. I think that when we have our Sunday gathering meeting at the end of the weekend, that he could start and or finish the meeting by saying everyone did a fabulous job and do a little more in the encouraging department, you know. It would certainly breed a lot more loyalty and positiveness.
Well, we've got 90 seconds left.
So who was the greatest leader that you had, and what would their one standout point be?
Without a doubt, Jack
Roser.
I don't even have to.
Yeah.
And
I knew you were going to say that.
Tell you
but
what,
why?
He gave me a job to do, okay? I would bring him situations, and I, you know, where he'd have to put money out. I'd say, Jack, we have to do this event, blah, 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 blah. He's like, run with it. He goes, I trust you. Because he appreciated my ability, and he empowered me, and I respected him. I never did anything without asking him anyway, and I didn't have to. Do you know what I'm saying? I didn't have to.
Right.
So there you go. So
that
was
a very mutually respective the situation with someone that you knew.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So tell me what you did. Who's your favorite? And we probably are going to be cut off.
Right, because it's going to take me a while because I've had more people in my life that I appreciate because they've shown me how not to be an entrepreneur or a boss. And I have had some good bosses.
Okay, well, with that we've got 9 seconds.
You know.
So You know what? We'll be back next week. Next week we're going to do the Rocky story. Go on our Facebook page, Awaken to Empowerment, and see the Rocky story. We'll catch you back here next week at 5 p.m. Central Standard Time. This is going to be a wrap of Awaken to Empowerment. We'll catch you next week. Thank you very much. Thanks, Nance. We'll see you next time.
Bye.
Bye.